If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Worth Baptist Church is experiencing a tremendous revival during the days of the summer. Summertime is in reality revival time, and last Sunday the Lord added 14 people to our church rows. The spirit of revival continues to prevail as souls have been saved and added to the church every Sunday during the days of the summer. We invite you to come and share these good days with us beginning today. Why not just make up your mind now? You're going to come and visit Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We have but one textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church, and that is the Bible, the Word of God. Believing the Bible to be inspired, infallible, and without error, we declare today that we are Bible-believing Baptist. We believe what God has said in His Word, and we claim every promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Why not bring your family today where all the family can come in and study God's Word in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock? Remember, our motto is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our theme for this year is building for Christ as we build for eternity. We are now only a few weeks away from completing our new building at Campus Drive and Loop 820. Why not drive by this week, take a look at it, and I know God will impress you to pray for us as we complete the building and plan to move in just a few weeks. In the meanwhile, at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we shall look for you in Sunday school today at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. You'll find a warm welcome. You'll find something that is different awaiting you in all of these services, where Christ is prominent, the gospel is preached, and we worship Jesus Christ in the beauty of holiness. Come today and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church. The month of August is an important month because August is Pray Again Month. In July, we prayed every day for a particular family within the church structure. During August, we are praying again. We are praying for revival. We are praying for our building program. We are praying that God will save many souls and give us a great harvest during these days. So, August is Pray Again Month. The Bible says that Elijah prayed and the heavens were shut up and there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then the Bible declares that Elijah prayed again and the heavens were opened and the rains came. I believe the time has come for us to pray again in America for revival. Pray for Washington. Pray for the city of Fort Worth. Pray for your own family and your own church that God would begin a revival right here within our own midst during these days of the summer. The month of September will be an outstanding month because September will be Stewardship Month at Worth Baptist Church. All of these plans and programs bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ and spiritual development to God's people. We covet your prayers during these days. And if you would like to have a cassette tape containing the message on today's broadcast, it can be yours simply by writing and requesting it. All you need to do is to write and ask for today's broadcast on cassette tape. It will be sent you free and postage paid. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. That mailing address again, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. The zip code is 76119. We shall look forward to hearing from you this week by mail. And again, we shall look forward to greeting you in the services of Worth Baptist Church at 3309 Wilbarger Street today. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, We Would See Jesus. I shall read from the Gospel according to John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the Bible and for the church and for the Lord's Day and for the privilege of voicing the truth over this radio station in this hour. I pray for every listener. I pray for our sick and shut-in friends, our senior citizens in the rest homes or hospitals or their own private homes, wherever they are today. Bless those who are in trouble, those who have burdens and problems and difficulties and trials, that mother whose heart is aching and breaking today, that father whose home is broken up, those little boys who don't have a mother, and those little girls who don't have parental guidance today. I pray that you'd bless them. Bless those families where tragedy and sorrow and sudden death and illness and all of these things have invaded this week. May they know that Thou art still on the throne and that Thou dost care for them. Bless them in this hour. And then, Father, we pray for our nation today to experience revival. I pray for Washington. I pray for Fort Worth. I pray for the entire nation. I pray, dear God, that Thou wouldst send rain to the parching earth across this nation, even in our own area. And then, Father, again, with the reading of Thy Word and the preaching of the Gospel, may men be attracted to Jesus Christ in a very real way in this broadcast. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. And now to the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. We would see Jesus, was the sentence that was on the lips of those Greeks who came to worship in the long ago in the city of Jerusalem. Napoleon once said, and I quote, If Socrates entered the room, we would stand up and honor him. If Jesus Christ entered the room, we would bow down and worship him. End of quote. And how true it is. Men of philosophy and learning, the arts and sciences, deserve our respect and admiration, but all the more the man of sorrows, the man who was acquainted with grief, the man who was despised, the God-man and the man-God, Jesus Christ, demands and deserves our worship and adoration. Seeing Jesus means you've seen it all. When you have seen Jesus, you have seen history, because history is His story, and His story is history. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. When I am on the mountaintop, I see Him as the bright and morning star. When I fall down to the mountainside, I see Him as the Rose of Sharon. When I am in the valley, I see Him as the Lily of the Valley, because He is indeed the fairest of 10 trillion, times 10 trillion and trillions of trillions to my soul. He is stronger than the strongest. He is brighter than the brightest. He is fairer than the fairest. He is richer than the richest. He is higher than the highest. And He is wiser than the wisest. When the Greeks who came to see Jesus made their request, one thing comes to my mind. These Greeks had seen everything. They had seen, no doubt, the Parthenon that was built 500 years before Christ. They had seen the majesty of the armies and the navies of Greece. They had seen the architectural structures and all the wonders of the Western culture. But they came to see Jesus Christ. They did not say, we would see Confucius, or we would see the Buddha, or we would see one of the Caesars. No, they said, we would see Jesus Christ. And when they were brought to Jesus Christ, and He addressed them, He did not speak to them about the glory of creation, nor the majesty of Rome, nor the splendor of Athens, nor the wonder of Babylon, nor the mysteries and marvels of nature. No, He spoke to them of His death, burial, and resurrection from among the dead. Did you ever wonder why Jesus Christ used the illustration, a grain of wheat? Perhaps this would help you. Remember, He used this illustration to symbolize and set forth the truth of His death, burial, and resurrection. Remember, these were Greeks who came to see Jesus Christ. And in Greek mythology, one of their gods, Dionysius, was killed by the Titans in battle, but was reborn to Semele a bit later on. In rejoicing over that so-called rebirth of Dionysus, the Greeks paraded him from the outskirts of the country into the heart of the city of Athens, the capital. And what do you suppose they used as a symbol of the mythological death, burial, and resurrection of Dionysius? You guessed it. They used a grain of wheat to say, this is what is happening, and this is what has happened. So Jesus used that illustration in speaking to Greeks who would be familiar with Dionysus and all of the Greek mythology. And He said to them, I am the true Dionysus, as it were. I am the true God, the God-man. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. So Jesus Christ used that symbol to show to the Greeks something they were familiar with. Jesus portrayed His own death, burial, and resurrection. Now there are 5 things that we would see about Jesus in this text. First, we would see Him as the eternal Word in the heavenly world. In John 1, 1 and 2 it is written, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the very beginning, who would set a date? Only a fool would speculate. Before the morning stars sang together, before the planets made their trackless path around the sun, before the waters ran to the shore, in the beginning, Jesus Christ was the essence of God, the second person of the Trinity. So we see Him as the eternal Word in the world above. Secondly, we would see Jesus Christ as a tiny baby in a Bethlehem manger. In Luke chapter 2 at verse 7, the writer tells us about Mary. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Yonder in Bethlehem's manger, God was in the form of man. Verse 14 of John 1 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In the third place, we would see Him as a dying sacrifice on a Roman cross. In Luke 23, at verse 33, it is written, "And when they were come to the place called Calvary," that's cranion in the Latin, Golgotha in the Hebrew, the place of a skull, "there they crucified him. From the cross he cries first, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Later on, during that six-hour ordeal of anguish and agony and suffering, our Lord Jesus cries out from the cross through parching lips, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The sun was darkened and the earth did quake. And at the close of that six-hour period, our Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." Not the cry of a victim, but the cry, triumphant cry of a victor. And then our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he died. He died for your sins and mine. The Bible says Christ died for us. The Bible says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness." Jesus Christ, a dying sacrifice on a Roman cross. Then we would see him in the fourth place as a lifeless body in a Palestinian tomb. John 19 and verse 41 we read, "Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus," Jesus Christ, a body, lifeless body, in a Palestinian tomb. Why, some said he just swooned. He didn't really die, and the cool air of the tomb revived him. Others said, why, his disciples stole his body away. Some said the disciples only had hallucinations. They didn't really see the form of the living Christ. Others said the women went to the wrong tomb and they found one empty. But my friend, the Bible says that Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus Christ came forth triumphantly saying, "I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life. Because I live, ye shall live also." So Jesus Christ did not remain a lifeless body in a tomb. He arose from the grave triumphantly, bringing to us justification and the assurance that all of those who have died in the faith will one day be raised when he comes again for his own. Finally, we would see Jesus Christ as a reigning king on a royal throne. It is written in Luke 1, verse 32 and 33, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Jesus Christ shall reign forever. The poet said, "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet." My friend, I want to ask you a question. Is he reigning in your heart today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you were to die today, do you know that you would go to heaven? What is your eternal destiny? What have you done about Jesus Christ? You can't be neutral. You must either accept him or reject him. And you can trust him in this hour, and by the eye of faith, you can see Him as He is this moment. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. One day we shall see Him as the Lord of glory and be like Him forever. We have a written guarantee in 1 John chapter 3 at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Hallelujah! One day we shall see Jesus Christ and be with Him and like Him forever. As we leave the broadcast, let me remind you again that it would be our joy to have you come and visit Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. If you would like a copy of today's message on cassette tape, it is yours free and postage paid simply by writing to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. May God bless you as you write us today. And until next Lord's Day at the same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.